O-R-G.
Hello and welcome back to Bayou to Beltway. Today we have a couple of members from the Chamber of Commerce, a couple of operatives. We have Jeff Bashaw, who is in fact the current Chief Operating Officer of One Acadiana. Mr. Bashaw grew up around Boston. He went to the University of Virginia. He went over to London School of Economics, earning a master's degree. He returned as an analyst to Louisiana, to Louisiana Economic Development. And then he came to the Greater Lafayette Chamber of Commerce as policy director. Now in the reorganized chamber, he is the chief operating officer. We are also joined by Andre Bro, a Lafayette native. He is a distinguished Lafayette native, having been valedictorian of Lafayette High School in 2004 and the top undergraduate from Loyola in his year. He went to the Clinton School of Public Service, where he got his master's, and then worked as a special projects advisor and policy advisor for Sacramento Mayor Kevin Johnston. He is currently director of policy initiatives with One Acadiana, and he's also the son of RKRVS icon Raoul Bro. So welcome.
Thank you for having us, Pearson.
Well, thanks for being here. Let me ask a couple of questions just generally about the revitalized chamber. What do you call it? Do you call it the chamber, or do you call it One Acadiana, or what do you? How do you refer to it?
Yeah, so we've officially changed our name from the Greater Lafayette Chamber of Commerce to One Acadiana. We did that about a year ago. We've just celebrated our one-year birthday.
Excellent. There's been a notable hiring of staff and an expansion of expertise at the organization. When I go look at your staff site, it seems pretty big and impressive. Who are all these people? What do they do? Does this reflect something about a changed mission? Jeff, you want to take this one?
Sure. We've gone through a really significant organizational transformation in the last 2 years, starting in 2014. You know, as a Greater Lafayette Chamber of Commerce, we are primarily, although not exclusively, focused on Lafayette Parish. But one of the things that's important was that our mission was to be the leading force in the improvement of the business environment, economic health, and prosperity of the region. And so when we asked business leaders from Lafayette, from this area that are outside Lafayette, one of the things that they said was that that mission resonated with them. So when we started thinking about, well, what type of an organization promotes that kind of a mission? And we looked across the South, we looked across Louisiana, and we saw that economies and the way to build economies and to make economies thrive, it really needs to be a regional approach. And we saw a lot of room for that to operate here in Acadiana. So we brought together regional partners. We brought together the Lafayette business community, and we launched this new initiative to fulfill our mission, to fulfill building that regional economy, growing, creating jobs, and that's really where we see the future.
Okay, Andre.
Yeah, so to piggyback off Jeff, we are a member and investor-based organization, and one of the things that drew me back to Lafayette from Sacramento is really seeing how this organization came together with some of the key leaders in the region, and I was excited to be a part of that movement. And as we talk about our policy agenda going forward, I think it's important to note that we are a member and investor-based organization, and we work through our committees, and we work with our partner organizations, and we work with public officials in terms of how we develop our positions. And so what we've done is we've developed two sets of priorities, one for the region as a whole, Acadiana, and one focusing in on the city of Lafayette, the priorities for a better Acadiana and priorities for a better Lafayette. And we believe that these identify some of the biggest bang for our buck that we can get. And at the end of the day, as we advance these priorities, it's important we stand together as a region. And I think that that's something that the organizational structure of One Acadiana allows us to do.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I wanted to, you know, just follow up on one of the other questions. We have been hiring a lot of new folks. We went from a staff of about seven in 2014 to a staff of we have now 20 folks on staff. And, you know, we've added a lot, but we've also maintained our work as a central business organization for Lafayette. Some of the things we've added are the policy initiatives team, so that Andre leads, We also have gotten involved in business development, so that's expansion, retention, recruitment of businesses to this area. And we've also beefed up our marketing and communications team to market this area nationally. But that doesn't mean that we've given up anything in terms of member engagement, bringing the business community together here in Lafayette. That's still a very top priority for us.
Well, I know a number of people came together. You had to raise significant amounts of money in order to kind of launch One Acadiana. You had to get a buy-in from a number of partners, one of whom I think was the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. What's the policy agenda for One Acadiana going forward? What are the areas you're focusing on?
Yes, so as I talked about, we've developed the priorities for Better Acadiana and priorities for Better Lafayette. And within those documents, a couple of things that stand out in the priorities for Better Acadiana are transportation infrastructure, notably completing I-49 South. Another thing we're looking at is really unlocking our workforce development potential. In terms of the priorities for a Better Lafayette, when we drill down, I think accelerating the implementation of Plan Lafayette was something that was identified as our members and investors as being important, and also revitalizing some of our key gateway corridors, which Mayor President Robideau has also talked about being one of his initial priorities. Also reducing traffic congestion in Lafayette is something that stood out when we went through that process.
Very much so. Did you want to say something on this? Okay. Well, let's follow up on what you were saying. You mentioned transportation infrastructure. So why don't we dive right into something that's one of the most contentious issues in this community currently, and that is, of course, the I-49 connector. Given a better infrastructure, what is I-49 connector in the One Acadiana's view, and where does it fit into the vision of the region? And what's the position? Does the One Acadiana have a position on this connector, and what do you think we should do going forward here?
Yeah, Pearson, I'll let Andre talk a little bit about what our position is, and he can outline that. But, you know, it's important that when we discuss this project, that even though the piece that everybody's focused on right now is the Lafayette connector, we have to realize that this is a huge project for our region and for our state and really for the nation, because this interstate will, once completed, run from New Orleans all the way up to Winnipeg, Canada. It's connecting us to the Midwest, and it will eventually connect us to Canada. So that, you know, we have to think about the connectivity and the access to commerce that this project will ultimately provide. And I think it's important that we don't lose that perspective. I mean, you know, there's a lot of issues, right? And there's a lot of issues as we think about how that moves through Lafayette. But, you know, it's one piece. And so we have to be very mindful of that.
I haven't heard much feedback on the big piece, which you're referring to, which is everybody, I think, kind of thinks that being connected to Canada would be a good thing, except maybe a Donald Trump. I'm not sure. But could you speak more to this, Hunter?
Yeah. So as we engage the connector project, I think there are three key points that we keep in mind as an organization. The first is that the goals of high-quality transportation infrastructure and revitalizing our urban core, those are not mutually exclusive goals. In fact, we see them as being mutually reinforcing, and we think great cities do both. The second point is that a great process, a healthy debate, is going to lead to a better product in the end. And I think we have some momentum that we can capitalize on through the public engagement around Plan Lafayette and diving into kind of a more complex project on the ground allows us to work through some issues. But by bringing everyone together, I think Lafayette is really positioned to be a national leader as it tackles an urban highway. The third point is that we need to remember that this process presents us with some extraordinary opportunities to invest in community development and revitalizing our urban core. So we need to make sure that we're maximizing those opportunities that are on the table.
This I-49 connector has been somewhat contentious, as you know, and lately the pushback has taken the form of, led by Harold Scheffler, who we had on this program very recently, and the Sierra Club and others, of pointing to environmental hazards. Just yesterday, as I recall, there was a court case or a suit brought, you know, focusing on issues of the environment and pollution on the proposed connector site. Do we need to take a big step back on this? What's One Acadiana, I think?
Well, one of the things we've identified as an opportunity here through the connector project is to remediate some of the environmental contamination along the corridor. And I think we do need to look at this issue seriously, but I think that this project presents the opportunity to remediate some of that environmental contamination.
Yeah, Pearson, I think one of the questions we have to ask as we consider all this is what's the alternative? You know, that a lot of that the environmental issues right around the railroad, you know, that's going to remain there and it's going to be contaminated. So how do we move forward? You know, and that's an answer that the community is going to have to provide, and it's going to have to work through that. I think one of the things that the planning process does is it allows us to confront that. It allows us to look in the mirror and ask ourselves what kind of community do we want to be, and how do we fix this?
One question I would ask with regard to the connector is that it seems like the community has been a little divided on this issue, that there's a sense on the one hand that kind of rich white South West Lafayette thinks a connector is a great idea and thinks Evangeline Thruway is a perfect place to put it. And then a number of activists are thinking, including environmentalists, but also members of African American community and other people are saying, no, the connector is going to divide our communities. It's not going to be great for this vision of Lafayette. And if we do that, we're going to suffer the same kind of fates as other cities that have created urban highways that, you know, contribute rather than solve blight. Respond to that at all?
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, one of the things that we have to think about is that the Evangeline Thruway already divides our community. So that's the baseline that we're operating with right now. And I think that through this planning process, one of the things that we've been focused on, that we've heard from the community, that I've seen at these work groups, is we want to look at options for creating better connectivity to Macomb Vizet, to some of the other areas that are right outside of the downtown. And so I think that's a really admirable goal. And I think that you know, we can look at what we have now, and we can see this project as something where investing in the process, investing in the outline of what's important to our community, will really get us the best design possible.
Okay. Moving on to other transportation issues, because obviously Lafayette has a number of transportation issues, as does the region. Is there a way forward here? How can we address some of this gridlock? Do you have any ideas about what we can do? I mean, of course, being from Boston, you know, I'm for putting in a light rail system,
We could create a tunnel, but we can't do that.
I've been told that that's a real non-starter around here. Tunneling is bad in Louisiana, they tell me at least. So what do we do about this transportation infrastructure and the traffic jams that we're stuck in every day?
Yeah, well, I think we need to look at those things that are going to give us the biggest bang for our buck, something that Lafayette Consolidated Government is talking about, and something the Downtown Development Authority is talking about, is a return on infrastructure investment analysis tool, which really does some cost benefit around what the best investments are for our region. So that would help us address kind of how the city and parish government should look at issues. I think when we talk about the region, we're working with the Acadiana Planning Commission and Acadiana MPO to talk about what are some of the priority corridors throughout the region that would greater improve connectivity to cities in the parish and some of our outerlying cities, as we think about how to improve both the city of Lafayette and the Acadiana region as a whole.
Yeah, Pearson, one of the things that we really do have to realize with our traffic here in Lafayette is that there's no silver bullet. There's no bridge that's going to solve this. There's no boulevard that's going to fix all our problems. It's going to have to be holistic. We're going to have to look at a lot of the different intersections we have, make improvements. And that's really where the focus needs to be. I mean, we have a serious infrastructure problem here in Lafayette. We have an infrastructure problem here in Acadiana.
That's perhaps strangling our business development or
that's
getting
right.
In the ways of the region's goals as a whole.
That's correct.
We've been talking, that was Jeff Bashaw, and we've been talking with Mr. Bashaw and Andre Breaux from the One Acadiana. And we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk some more.
Running a business requires smart decisions every day. Make a good decision for your company today and reach other businesses through KRVS program sponsorship. For more information, call 337-482-1437.
I love short fiction. Short fiction is like close-up magic. This is Neil Gaiman. Get your story fixed this week on Selected Shorts from PRI, Public Radio International.
6 p.m. Friday on KRVS.
Welcome back to Bayou de Beltway. We're talking with one of Acadiana's Jeff Bashaw and Andre Bro today about issues of One Acadiana, the region, and growth. One Acadiana's vision for this region seeks to make Louisiana one of the most high-quality, sought-after regions in the South for enjoying a prosperous career in an idyllic family environment. Sounds nice. Currently, the Lafayette School Board is floating a tax proposal to go on the ballot in April. As you undoubtedly know, and our listeners know, educational infrastructure in Lafayette is sadly lacking in just about everything. We've got thousands of students meeting their classes in temporary buildings. What's One Acadiana's position on this tax proposal that's due to hit in April? I think it's an 11 mil and some other mills here and there. It's going to raise about $380 million. And what's the role of K through 12 education in terms of One Acadiana's vision for the future?
Yeah, so we were just talking about transportation infrastructure being one of our key priorities. Public education is obviously another one of our key priorities because we know the impact it can have on our economy. And we've been working since the school board voted to put these tax propositions on the ballot in April. We've been working closely with both the school board, with Dr. Aguillard and his administration at the school system to understand the details of this proposal. And we've had a number of meetings. And what's clear is that we believe in the importance of improving school facilities here in Lafayette. And as we work to determine our position on the details of this proposal, one thing I want to say is we feel really positive about the relationship we're building with Dr. Aguilar, with the new school board. They've been in place about a year, and I think it's important to point out the progress that they've made over the course of the past year. I think Dr. Aguilar really brings a credible track record to Lafayette Parish from St. Mary Parish. He brought St. Mary Parish from one of the bottom third of school districts in the state to one of the top third of school districts in the state. He improved the grad rate, I want to say, from about 63% in St. Mary to about 81%. So I think that he can really build on that success in St. Mary Parish, implement some of the best practices he learned. This week, actually, he's going to be introducing his Vision 2020 plan to the school board that really builds on past planning efforts but also implements some best practices from St. Mary Parish here in Lafayette, one being just an example of the Fast Forward Literacy Program. This is a software tool that he used to dramatically improve the literacy rate in St. Mary Parish. And Lafayette Parish, we had 3 active licenses, but we actually had 13 dormant licenses that Dr. Aguilar identified when he first started. And one of his first priorities was implementing those licenses because we know that literacy is the foundation of learning. And we've already seen just in the course of this first year some growth in terms of our students' reading levels at those schools in which Fast Forward is being implemented. So that's just one example of some of the things that are going to be brought forward through the Vision 2020 plan, which we're excited about.
Literacy is the foundation of learning. It struck me that you're both liberal arts graduates, are you not?
That's right.
So strong literary foundation. I like to hear that. Jeff, would you want to kick in on this at all?
Yeah, on the public education side, you know, this is something that our when we survey our members and in our investors, this is something that they rate always as top of the heap. You know, if they don't send their children to public schools, then their employees send their children to public schools. Those kids grow up and become the workforce here. So we know that a great public education system is one of the key determinants to a growing economy, whether a business is going to move in, whether somebody decides to stay here and open a business. That's big. And so I think that, you know, when we look at this proposal, we have to consider it in that light, and we'll be really interested to see what the school board does in the next month or so.
Well, the school board, when they voted for this, they voted 8-0, and that was only because one member was missing. So with new leadership at the superintendent position, with a more unified school board, with a community, it seems like now is the time to make some changes in the fundamental infrastructure and invest in public education if the region is to move forward, in my view. You know, isn't that significant to companies that are thinking about locating here or employers that are looking for people to have a really good public school system?
Yeah, it is significant. We also have to consider, though, that we're in a really challenging economy right now, and that we're having a huge budget deficit at the state. So there are a lot of factors, and that doesn't mean to discount the school board's proposal at all. I just think that the voters are going to have to look at this. We're going to have to look at this, and we're going to have to make some hard choices.
Okay. Well, last time when the school board put some taxes for schools on the ballot, they went down about, I think, by 2-1, you know, or slightly over 2-1. But at that time, you had a school board without much confidence. You had a superintendent that probably didn't have the same confidence level. I don't know that the needs were outlined quite as well as they are now. I mean, things are pretty dire here in terms of infrastructure. I know it's a down economy, but I also know that Lafayette Parish, on a per-mill basis, contributes a little less than some of the other more successful educational parishes around, like St. Tammany, to public education. Do you think this is a moment where Lafayette Parish could step ahead and really act on faith in terms of improving the public school system?
Yeah, well, I think you pointed out the 8-0 vote to put these propositions on the ballot. And one of the things that points to is really the good dynamic both among the school board and between the school board and the new administration. So I think that's a really promising sign. I think it's still a young school board. It's still very new in Dr. Aguilar's administration. And we are seeing some signs of initial progress. And I expect that we'll continue to see results, and that's something we're going to be looking at. Just in terms of the need for school facilities, I think that's something that's been talked about for years. You know, the average age of a public school in Lafayette Parish is 50 years, and 1 in 5 classrooms in Lafayette Parish is a temporary portable classroom. And we know that I think you called it our education infrastructure is really important, both in terms of quality of life in Lafayette, but also in terms of how we attract and new business to the region and make this the idyllic family environment that we talk about in our vision.
Right. Thanks, Andre. Well, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I would like to point out that, you know, if this tax is to pass, and Lafayette schools are to get some improved infrastructure and some of their needs addressed and move to that A district that Don Aguilar wants to move the district to, or currently B district, I believe, right now, that I think it's going to take a concerted and almost unanimous leadership block. So I think one, Acadiana's, you know, obviously is going to be somewhat crucial to whether or not this tax passes or whether or not people feel confident about getting in. I know you guys haven't taken a specific position on this, but I think people are going to be looking, I don't think there's any doubt, at what One Acadiana recommends on this issue.
Yeah, we've always really strived for a collaborative approach. So that's just something that we really work for. And so we're getting the facts now. We're working through what the proposal is, where the money would go, how it would be used. I mean, I think a lot of people have these questions. And so that's the type of thing that we're working through right now. But we're, you know, as part of this community, we are really focused on trying to make a really good recommendation to folks.
Well, I know we'll be looking and watching what you do. Kind of building on that, what are the needs for workforce development here in our emerging economy in Southwest Louisiana, Lafayette, Louisiana? How can UL Lafayette, McNeese, SLCC, K-12 institutions here meet those needs? What are the challenges? What do we need to do?
So one of our priorities for 2016 is coordinating around a regional workforce development strategy. and bringing all of those partners that you talked about to the table and talking about what are those key driver industries that'll produce the high demand, high growth jobs that'll grow our economy, and how can we come together around a plan that'll build a workforce that addresses those particular jobs. Taking a step back, we were talking a little earlier about product development and business development. I think on the product development side, that's where you'll see a lot of our workforce efforts. On the business development side, something that we're going to link our workforce development efforts to is a target industry strategy that our business development team is working on in partnership with Jay Garner, a leading national site selection expert out of Atlanta. So what Jay is helping us do is really take an honest look at our competitive strengths, but also our limitations, and identify what are those opportunities that are most in Acadiana's wheelhouse. How can we play to our strengths? So I think what that's going to identify are some opportunities that building on our industries that are already here, but also some key growth industries. Aviation is something that comes to mind, and just recently one of our key partners, South Louisiana Community College, announced the opening of their International School of Aviation Excellence at Acadiana Regional Airport, and that's going to introduce a new pilot program but also build on their aviation maintenance and technician program, I believe, and in terms of how we grow our aviation workforce. Which is great.
Now, is this part of diversifying the economy? I mean, obviously, we're taking our lumps right now in terms of coal, oil, service companies, natural gas, and those sorts of things. So in terms of developing, I know at One Acadiana you refer to the product that we are developing. What is that product? And are we trying to diversify that product, or are we shaping it? What is it?
Yeah, Jeff? There's a really helpful distinction in economic development between business development and then product development. And so business development is retaining the companies that you have, growing those companies, attracting new ones. When we talk about product development, we mean building a prosperous economy, building a better economy, building a better community. And so, you know, when we talk about – when Andre refers to product development and we talk about diversification, that has to straddle both. You know, you need companies that are moving in that are going to be in fields that you don't have to employ new folks, but you also need to have the community and the economy that can support those folks to, you know, that has a competitive business environment, good schools, good transportation infrastructure, and that's really what we're striving for.
What's an area of strength or an area that we might move towards right now or an area that you're looking at developing? You mentioned, Andre mentioned aviation and some of these. Are there some other industries there that are waiting to break out or you think you feel strongly about?
Well, one of the things that we're really focused on is making sure that we protect what we're already doing really well. And that's got to be key because most of your economic growth comes from the companies that are already here. And when we talk about diversification and you talk about going out and going on the hunt, going out to find companies or grow companies, you got to kind of take a targeted approach because you can't do a shotgun approach. So you need to go out and find the companies that could prosper here. And that's a delicate balance. And we hope that our target industry strategy is going to focus on some of those key industry sectors where Acadiana really fits the perfect profile for them.
Well, I think there's some opportunities, obviously, with a university working in computer science and different kinds of high-tech companies.
That's right.
People that I talk to say, you know, Lafayette and Austin, you know, Lafayette and Seattle, Lafayette and some of those other places would be a nice model for moving into these high-tech, high-value industries. Well, listen, we've been enjoying our conversation. Our time is running short. We've been talking to Jeff Bashaw and Andre Bro of One Acadiana, and we've had a great conversation. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us, Pearson.
Thanks, Pearson.
Bayou de Beltway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, and members.
Support for KRVS comes from Begna Manufacturing, a precision sheet metal manufacturer and industry innovator.
specializing in precision sheet metal cutting, bending, perforation, forming, laser welding, and assembly. As a locally grown company, Begno prides itself on community engagement and support. Each Friday, Begno invites visitors and clients to tour the facility and enjoy lunch with the team. To schedule a visit, the number is 237-5069. Begno Manufacturing, passionately creating innovative solutions.
KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.